Concrete Rose, chapter 22. I couldn't sleep last night for thinking about red. Red, red, red. It's the same thing the next day at school. I'm sitting in the front office with red on my mind. I'm one of like 20 students waiting to see Mr. Clayton, the counsellor. He's meeting with all the seniors one-on-one this week to discuss our futures. For me, that's probably summer school with the way my grade's looking. I don't really care at the moment. I'm almost dizzy from the tug of war happening in my head. Red was wearing Dre's watch. But what if it wasn't Dre's watch and simply looked like it? Why did Red get nervous when he saw me staring at it? He a crooked dude, no doubt, but like Peanut said, he not the type to kill. But he disappeared right after Dre died. Maverick Carter, Mr. Clayton call out. I shake Red out my head, at least for now, and go over to Mr. Clayton. He meet me with a strong handshake. Mr. White says you can tell a lot about a man by his handshake. Mr. Clayton don't take no mess. I already knew that. He looked like a black, stone-cold Steve Austin, bold and wide shoulders. Bet he lifts weights bigger than me. Nice to see you, Mr. Carter, he says. I'm glad you finally stopped by. Oh, yeah. I forgot he wanted to talk to me after Dre died. My bad. Not a problem. Come in. Have a seat. His office kind of dope. He got framed black and white pictures on the walls of all these important-looking black people. I only recognise Malcolm X and Huey Newton, the founder of the Black Panthers. Pops put me onto them. I never heard them mentioned in a history class. I take the chair across from Mr. Clayton's desk. He pull a folder from his file cabinet and join me. Word around the school is that you've had some life-changing developments this year, he says. I wait for the look. I swear, when grown folks know I got two kids, I see myself become trash in their eyes. It's like they see my babies as trash too, just because I made them so young. Hell no. Look, if you go and come at me about my kids... Calm down, Mr. Carter. There's no judgment. I'm here to help you, young brother. He look over the files in the folder, my name typed out on the tab on the top. I can see how becoming a father has affected your grades this year. Your GP is down drastically. Yeah, but I ain't dumb. Mr. Clayton look at me over his glasses. Then why haven't your grades reflected that? He pulled that one out of Mars playbook. I got a lot going on. You said it yourself. I understand that, Mr. Carter. However, there are teen parents who stay on top of their grades. Barring a miracle, that would require a lot of hard work on your part. You won't be graduating in May. Shit. I can't do summer school, huh? Damn, I don't really want to deal with that, but I guess I'll do it. I wish it were that easy. It's not. No, sir, he says. You would have to take all of your classes in summer school, and we don't offer them all in the summer. The districts can't afford it. Now, you could hope you raise your GPA enough to graduate. Otherwise, you have to repeat the 12th grade in order to get a diploma. Shit, man, I thought. I know my grade's bad, but I figured... Mr. Clayton, I can't repeat. What I look like coming to high school every day when I got two kids? You'll have to figure it out, he says. Nah, man, I shouldn't have to do the whole year over. Mr. Clayton removes his glasses and rubs his eyes. Young brother, you can't wait until the credits are rolling to decide that you want to see the movie. You obviously didn't make school a priority this year, judging by your grades and all of your absences. We're a few months away from graduation. Why do you care now? You know what? I don't. I push up from my seat. Fuck this, I mumble. Whoa, hold on, Mr. Carter. I ain't trying to do another year, Mr. Clayton. Real talk. Okay, understandable, he says. You also have the option of getting your GED. It's the equivalent of a diploma. He pull a pamphlet from a drawer and hand it to me. The school district has a programme for adults. You're the perfect candidates. Adults? Guess I ain't a kid no more. You would take night classes over a three-month period, Mr. Clayton explains. At the end, you take an exam. You pass, you get your GED. You don't, you take the classes again. And again, and again. I may as well come back here then. Sounds like you've got good reasons to give it a shot. A GED or a high school diploma will give you more opportunities to provide for your children. I already do that. And it don't require returning to the goddamn school or taking a class. Mr. Clayton hand me a card and tell me to call him if I decide I want to enrol in the GED programme. Then he say I can go back to class. You know the classes I'm taking for no damn reason at all now? I drop Mr. Clayton's card and the pamphlet in the trash can on my way out of the building. What's the point of a high school diploma or a GED? Nah, for real. People claim they make my life easier, but all a high school diploma did for Ma was help her get two jobs that don't pay enough. Nah, man, I'm done with this school shit. It's time to put all my focus on making money. I go to King's crib. He rents a house near Rose Park. I knock on the front door since the doorbell never works. The lock click on the other side and Aisha answer with an eye roll. What you want? Man, I don't want to deal with her today. Hey to you too. Is King here? Asha look at me like I'm stupid and motion toward the empty driveway. Do you see his car anywhere? You know when he'll be back? Better be soon. He went to get some breakfast and we hungry. We? I ask. She proudly caressed her belly. We found out yesterday that I'm expecting. It really is King's baby this time. One? God damn, what the hell in the water around here? Two? She barely around for the baby she got. Three? You're trying to replace seven since he ain't King's. The goofy grin disappear off Aisha's face. Screw you, Maverick. Ain't nobody trying to replace him. Sure look that way. Shut up. You don't have room to talk. You knocked up your little bougie girlfriend. You trying to replace seven since he ain't hers. Nah, that just happened. This did too. I may not have been around seven for months, but don't ever say I don't love my son. All right, my bad, I'm sorry. She pointed her long fingernail in my face. You should be. You better start letting me see him more. Them little Sunday visits won't cut it. I wiped my face. I didn't come over here for this. All right, we'll work something out. Give me a few days. Fine, don't take forever, Aisha says as King's car turned into the driveway. She whirled around and stomped in the house. Talking about, oh, I can't stand him. My life, man, I've got to deal with this girl for at least the next 18 years. Now here come this foul fool. King come up the walkway holding a couple of McDonald's bags. What's good, Mav? I stuffed my hands in my pockets. I ain't forgot what he pulled on Thanksgiving. My stash at home low and I want to put in some work. Cool, I got you, he says, and I follow him inside. King only got a TV, couch, PlayStation and stereo systems in his living room. He don't even have curtains. He hung sheets and blankets from the dollar store on the windows. Yo, I got the food, he calls out to Aisha. She come and snatch a bag. Thank you, she says, and go back to the bedroom. King sit on the couch, shaking his head. Females. Came at a good time, homie. I cooked up some rocks last night. According to one of my regulars, it's out of this world, he laughs. It had him so gone. Cool, I'll take whatever. King tilts his head. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Give me some products and I can bounce. What is your goddamn problem lately? King asks. Don't tell me you're still mad that I moved Aisha in. That was months ago. She ain't your girl. Why are you mad? Because you ain't tell me where she was and you knew I was struggling with my son. I ain't know you were still looking for her, he says. Just give me some product, King. I'm not in the mood, all right? That's why I asked what's wrong, fool. It's obvious you're upset. He sits forward. Seriously, Mav, I'm your boy. Talk to me. I hold the back of my neck. This school stuff and this red situation on my mind heavy. And fact is, I ain't got nobody to talk to. Lisa not an option. She don't need the stress. Mr. Wyatt not? Ma, definitely not. I could talk to Dre's grave, but I'd never get a response. King all I got left. I sigh. All right, maybe I'm tripping over the Aisha stuff. It ain't that big of a deal, I guess. Plus King right, that was months ago. I may as well talk to him. I found out I can't graduate. They want me to repeat the 12th grade. What? That's bullshit, King says. It's my own fault, King. I accept that. I refuse to do another year, though. It would be a waste of my time. Hell yeah, it would. Who want to look at Mr. Phillips' old wrinkly face for another year? Word, I laugh with him. Mr. Clayton said I could take night classes to get my GED. Another waste of time, King says. Once you focus on this drug shit completely, you'll be making more than Clayton and the teachers. Bet that. I know, I mumble. I left the school knowing that. At the same time, this ain't what I want to do forever. I mean, what I told Dre, slinging is supposed to be temporary. Being a man don't got nothing to do with what I want. I got to do what I got to do. And it looks like that's selling drugs. Aye, King says, and I look at him. Don't stress this. You're my boy. I'm going to make sure you're good. We homies for life, remember? He held his fist over to me. Now I'm feeling really stupid. Man, I'm sorry that I forgive you, King says. We cool, all right? I dap him up. All right. King reached in his McDonald's bag for some fries. That school stuff all that was bothering you? I see Dre's watch on Red's wrist as clear as I see my own wrist. Nah, I say through my teeth. I saw Red yesterday. He was wearing the watch that was stolen off Dre when he was killed. King looked up from his bag. What? You bullshitting me? That's what Peanut should have said. Not even a little bit. On top of that, when he saw me staring at it, his ass got shook. Yo, that's suspect as hell. You tell Peanut and them. I sit beside King. Don't get me started. I told that dumbass yesterday. He gonna tell me Red probably bought the watch from Ant and you're too much of a coward to kill Dre. What the hell? We talking about the same crooked Red? King shake his head. Peanut dumbass don't need to be the crown. Who you telling? I fold my arms on top of my lap. He threatened to jump me if I kept pushing the issue, said I was making him look stupid. He looked in a mirror lately, stupid written on his forehead. I smirk. Don't you know? Peanut full of intelligisms that have prepared him for the situationalization at hand. Me and King crack up. It feels good to laugh with him again. You know what this means, right? He says after a minute. That's one reason I couldn't sleep last night. I stare ahead at the floor and I can almost see Dre. I'll never forget him holding him in the middle of the street as blood leaked out of his body. It's tattered on my brain for life. If Red did that to him, I swear on everything I love, he ain't got much time left. I look at King. I gotta kill that nigger.